Neve Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neve's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neve Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
And good evening. You're listening to The Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. Now, let's see what we're going to be talking about. I've got a few questions for you to start the show this evening. Have a listen to this. See what you think. Have you ever given your child a present and noticed that they're more interested in investigating the box or ripping off the wrapping paper rather than, you know, the actual toy? Or did you ever notice your child was painting and drawing a lovely picture and then they just completely scribbled all over it, painted all over it, folded up the paper to a size of a postage stamp? Have you maybe wondered why your son lines up all his Thomas the Tank Engines in a line day after day after day? And I don't know about you, but I had a daughter that used to do this. Did you ever see, or do you see your daughter fill up a little bag after bag or your handbag and carry around her toys and precious little bits all around the house and the garden, and then weeks later you find your favourite earrings in a child's handbag under your bed? Well, all parents listening in tonight, and indeed teachers, I'd say, can often get puzzled by some of the children's actions and the things we're doing, that they're doing when we leave them alone to just play and explore. So this evening we want to talk about something on The Parent Show that we hope is going to provide the explanation to those sort of questions I've just been asking. So the word, and I've kind of kept it secret with the publicity over the last few days because I didn't want to put people off, because you may not have heard of it before. But the word that we want to spread tonight at The Parent Show is schemas. We reckon that schemas can provide the explanation to those questions. Oh, I just thought I should say, schemas doesn't mean your child is scheming and plotting to do things or get their own way, because if you haven't heard the word, you might be thinking I'm talking about something a bit negative. It's nothing to do with that, okay? So what we actually are talking about is a schema, which is, I'm going to read this for you because I want to get it right, a repeated action driven by the brain. It can often be seen in the behaviours of babies and children, and actually it can even be carried into adult life. These schema things are biological, we're born with them, and they appear in all cultures. So you're maybe sitting there thinking, well, yeah, great, but what do these schemas do for us as humans? Well, what they do is they help us to organise and process our thoughts and actually our feelings. So put really simply, schemas help us to think in a way that suits our own individual brain. I've sort of thought about this and been thinking about my schemas, and I reckon that when I'm behaving in a way that suits my schema, I feel much calmer, at peace. So I think there is something to be had in exploring this tonight. Apparently, as we get older, our schemas don't just go away, but they become more and more sophisticated. And I hope later we'll talk about that with the guest we've got in the studio. So I suppose I ought to just throw a few words in there. So some of the schemas we have are, we may have a rotation schema, a trajectory schema, enclosing schema, positioning schema, a connecting schema, an enveloping schema, a transporting schema, a core and radial schema. I could go on and on and on, but I've just picked out a few that I think seem to be the most common. So schemas are backed up by research, and we're going to put some stuff up on our Facebook page later, which if you're interested, whether you're a parent or you're maybe a teacher or an early years teacher listening in, hopefully will point you in the right direction, because I don't want to bore you with all the history and stuff tonight. But basically, we're talking about Piaget, who first recognised them, and then a couple of people called Athey and Tina Bruce. So, you know, have a look at that later on. So my guest is sitting here really patiently waiting for me to stop talking. The guest tonight became a mum for the first time recently, having worked for 20 years with children aged 2 and upwards. She had managed a large nursery for over 5 years, and she's an exceptionally creative woman who, for example, she plays the drums, she acts and she sings, and she's one of these people that just likes to think outside of the box all the time. But the best thing is she's very, very committed to schemas. Her name's Mary Duke, and Mary, welcome to the studio tonight.
Good evening, Shirley. It's great to be here.
Thank you for coming on this rainy night. So I've kind of introduced it really quickly, Mary. I'm going to rely on you to explain a little bit more about it. But can I just start by asking, you know, why do you feel so passionate about valuing the schemas of children?
Well, I think it's probably because I've seen that when you can observe children, find out what their schema is, use that schema to help them learn and progress their play, that they feel valued, that they feel listened to. They see more ease in the setting. When right. I've been at work, when I've yeah. worked with children in a nursery setting, and I can see there's a value in that.
Yeah. So a bit like I was saying, when I'm working within my schema, which I reckon is enveloping.
It definitely is. I've seen that.
I just feel much calmer and at peace and everything. So you think that's the same for children? That they feel sort of more relaxed and calm when they're playing and working in their sort of schematic way.
Yes, I do. And I think they can learn more. You can use their schema, because yeah. I've done it loads of times. Yeah. You can use their schema to help them learn.
Yeah.
You can set up activities for them using the particular way that they like to learn their schema. And, it helps them a lot.
So, I mean, when I was having a look at this, it says the research was sort of in the 70s when it was first being done. You know, we're now in 2014, and it feels like the last 5 to 10 years, people have started to talk about schemas a bit more. I mean, when I trained as a teacher 30 years ago, I never heard anything about it. So, you know, bearing that in mind, was there ever a time, Mary, in your working life when you heard yourself saying something, you know, that kind of goes against what we think about schemas? For example, you might have said, I don't know, no, don't move the sand, keep the sand in the sand tray. You're not allowed to transport it across the room.
Oh, absolutely, because, you know, schemas to me in the whole time that I've worked is still fairly new.
Yeah.
I can remember particularly doing an activity where children were making Noah's Arks out of paper.
Yeah.
We'd cut all the animals out for them, because it was in the olden days when you did that. And a particular little girl, I remember, got her Noah's Ark, got all her animals, put them all inside, and then progressed to fold that Noah's Ark and fold it and fold it to within an inch of its life. All the animals all squashed up inside. She did that. I've seen her doing it again. She, you know, and at the time thought that was a bit weird for her to do that.
Yeah.
But actually now I know, years later, that was her schema. She actually had a lot of different schemas as a girl.
So what was that one when she was doing all the folding and stuff?
Well, she was enveloping those animals.
Right. And so she was wrapping them up, you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, so that fits in with my question at the beginning, doesn't it? When I said, have you seen somebody do a painting and then they paint all over the top and fold it up? It's the same kind of thing.
Yes.
So that's enveloping. Okay. I can remember, actually, years ago when I was working in a nursery, getting a bit annoyed when the children would take all the toys from the home corner, or in those days we called it a Wendy corner, Wendy house, from the home corner, and they'd take them right across the other side of the classroom and hide them in the book corner. And I just didn't get what they were doing, and I can remember telling them to take them back. And now feel really guilty about that. Anyway, I just thought that was an interesting, whether you'd had any experience of that. Now, Mary, I'm just sort of thinking, you and I obviously are thinking along the same lines here, but there could be listeners tonight who are just saying to themselves, what a load of rubbish these two women are talking about. You know, isn't it just simply a badly behaved child or a child who doesn't want to do what other children are doing? And you know, I guess there's, you can't deny that some of these patterns of behaviours can be a bit frustrating or annoying or, you know, like you said, weird. What do you say anything to that?
Well, of course, you know, yes, sometimes it's schematic behaviour and sometimes it's a schema, but we don't just let children get away with anything. You learn. If you see it's a pattern and they're doing it often, it's a schema. But if they're just getting all their toys out and throwing them all around the floor, is that a scattering schema? Or are they just being a bit, what should we say, inappropriately behaved that day?
Yeah.
But you learn that by observation. That's why observation is key in learning about a schema. You cannot just watch a child once, oh, they've lined up their toys, they've got a lining up schema. You have to watch them and learn about that child. That's how you learn, is it a schema or is it bad behaviour.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we're saying to parents that are listening in, don't just see your child do it once and say, my child's got a trajectory schema because he threw a tennis ball at me. You've got to look at all the different areas of his play and life. I mean, even I heard about a little girl who has a vertical schema, so that means that she loves things that go in straight lines up and down, to the point where she wouldn't have round spaghetti hoops, she would only have long spaghetti on her plate, and she used to love watching the raindrops come down the window panes, but the parent had seen it in different areas of her life, different places in the house. So that's really important, I think, that, you know, if we're looking for our children's schemas, we don't just see it once and claim that we found it. We need to observe, like you're saying. And I don't know about you, but I can remember feeling really excited when I identified a child's schema after a while. Did you ever feel like that?
Yes. And, you know, you have to remember that you can look and look, and sometimes there won't be a schema.
Right.
You know, not every single child out there is going to have one. And if they don't, it doesn't matter. There's nothing wrong with that child. It will either be a really obvious and apparent, or it won't be there.
Right, okay.
So, you know, don't search and feel bad if you don't see it.
And only one schema? Or?
No. Children can have, and what people call this, a cluster of schemas, if you have more than one. And your schema can change. It doesn't always stay the same. You can have more than one schema at one time, or it can change from one to another.
So, could you give the listeners some examples of what parents might see if they're watching their children playing or interacting, you know, with other children, and it's not adult-led, so we haven't got the parents saying, do this, come here. What kind of things could they possibly see that they could say, well, that is schematic play?
Okay, so let's say you've, you know, put out a variety of toys for your child, not just toys, other objects in the house, letting them choose, not you giving them the toy, but them being able to choose from a variety of objects and items. It's not about what they're choosing. It's not about the toy they're choosing.
Right.
It's about how they play with that toy. So if you're seeing a child always playing with cars and always playing with balls, always running around in a circle, perhaps watching the washing machine go around, all those things are circular. That might indicate they had a rotational schema.
Okay.
Because they like things that go around and around. You might have thought, oh, they like cars. Oh, he's a boy. Oh, he likes cars. That's why he's playing with cars. But actually, perhaps it's about the wheels go around. Perhaps he's always running around a circle because he's rotational. But like we said, you have to observe him for a while or observe her for a while to find out about that.
Yeah. So the little boy that I used to know that would always run into the kitchen and want to touch the knobs on the cooker and run his finger around in a circle, that possibly was an indication, wasn't it? Because he used to do that.
Yes.
He loved that, and he loved cars.
I knew a little boy who was absolutely obsessed with the washing machine. He loved it. And we all were thinking at the time, because he loved washing and he wanted to work in a laundrette.
Yeah.
But actually now, you know, he loves football.
Oh, okay.
So I think he has a rotational schema.
Right. Okay. And how old is he now?
He's 11.
Right. Okay. So I hope you don't mind me saying to the listeners, but it kind of fits in with what we're saying. You know, you became a mum having had 20 years of working with other people's children. So you've got a lot of experience and observations. Are you kind of inflicting these on your daughter? Are you noticing anything about her? So, you know, what do you think she's doing at one? Is there any kind of evidence of a schema developing?
Yeah, it's interesting because I, you know, out of the setting, didn't expect to see it, hoping to see a schema, but didn't expect to, and especially because she's so young.
Yeah.
But I have noticed them already. Yes, at the moment she does, in fact, have a cluster of schemas.
And right.
She is scattering.
Yeah.
And she is putting things inside things. So she likes to fill up little pots with things. And she did do enveloping, but I don't see that as much now.
Right. And so what are you doing just, you know, at home in the lounge to try and support what you've recognised in her?
Right. So what I'll do is find a box for her to fill up.
Yeah.
Like this morning, you know, cause she'll do it anyway, but she's got a little wooden shape sorting toy, which is fun. I've watched her play with that for ages on her own, putting the shape inside, closing the lid. So today I found an old box, gave that to her, showed her what to do, then I walked away.
Yeah.
I don't need to stay with her.
No.
She didn't need me with her the whole time. It would. She's not that kind of child. And then she just played with that for a while, probably about 5 minutes. I don't expect it to go on for long.
Mm.
And she's not going to be doing her schema play all day,
no.
Just a little bit of her day.
Yeah.
She does lots of other things, but I notice she likes to do that at the moment. She likes to fill things up.
So we ought to say to you that Mary's daughter is 12 months old, so
yes.
She's actually quite young. So it's quite exciting, I guess, for you,
yes.
Isn't it, seeing such a little
yes.
young person?
It's surprising.
You were telling me that she has a special place where she likes to take the books off the shelf and throw them down and scatter them.
Yep, she is taking all the books off this little bookshelf. She got the cookery books down, scatters those. In the kitchen, we have put child locks on all the cupboard doors, except for one, which is the Tupperware plastic cupboard. So she's allowed to do that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, and as a parent, things like that you could feel annoyed about. And, yeah, even for myself, it's annoying sometimes.
Yeah.
But I let her do that. And if it gets too much at the end of the day, if I'm honest, and I've had it happen so many times, I'll just shut the kitchen door.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't become annoying. I don't want it to become annoying. But that's her scattering it all out, then she leaves it. If I don't tidy it up, it's better, actually, because she's not worried about it.
Right.
She'll just leave it. But I let her do that. I let her do the books. I've recently actually had to move the cookery books because she had started to rip the pages out, which her dad was not that impressed about.
So you're saying she's happier when everything's scattered around?
Yes.
So if you tied it up, she'll scatter it again?
She'll do it again. It's the action of the scattering
yes.
she likes. She's
yep.
not... Yeah, she does that a lot.
One thing I don't know, but you've got more experience than me, do you think children with similar schemas will play well together?
Well, yes, I learnt that actually when I did a course about schematic behaviour and was told that children, you might notice they're playing together and you might think it's because they like the same toys when actually they have the same schema. That they could be liking the same toy at first, but then the same way of play will last for longer and they'll play together for longer and they'll get on better. I don't really see that in Dorothy yet, my
daughter
yet. But I have seen that in other children, older children.
So we were talking about adult schemas and I was trying to sort of relate it to myself, because I do think that I personally have an envelope, an enveloping, you want to say envelope, but it's kind of from that, an enveloping schema. And I just thought if I shared it with the listeners, they might be able to think of it how they are in the house. And apparently one of the ways is to think about how you run your house, if you're a woman or indeed a man. So for me, I will 95% of the time not go out of the house without a scarf around my neck, summer, winter, whatever.
Yep.
I always want to envelop myself in a scarf. I've got loads of blankets in my lounge, about 5 or 6, and I fold them, and you know, it's really important for me to have a blanket. I've got dogs, and I'm forever doing their blankets, and my dogs are very fortunate. They have about 12 different dog blankets because I like all different ones folded in different places. And you might say, I don't know, you know, is that just a bit strange or weird? But I just have to say that I'm much calmer when I've got all my dog blankets there. When I'm wrapping presents for people, I'll wrap it in tissue first, then another layer, then I'll put a big ribbon around it. If I'm wrapping up a parcel, I'll put loads and loads of sellotape around the envelope. I just feel calmer and more at peace when I'm allowed to function in my schematic sort of you know, way of thinking. So I'm just thinking, if you're listening now, have a think about yourself. You know, do email us or Facebook us, whatever, if you're saying, well, what is my schema? This is the kind of thing that I do. So Mary, what about you? Do you have one, do you think?
Definitely. Mine that I've realised is transporting.
Oh, okay.
I like to have a lot of things in my handbag at all times.
Yeah.
I like to take a lot, anything that I could possibly need with me is in my bag. And I've been like that for a long time.
Yeah.
Even my friends will remember when we used to go nightclubbing, I would have all kinds of stuff in my bag, anything that anybody would want, a roll of toilet roll, anything, I'd have scissors, everything you could possibly need,
I would have it
with me.
Yeah.
Just like to have things around. I've just accepted that that's who I am.
Yeah.
And in my house, like, I will notice that I move things from room to room. Don't really tidy anything away, it just moves around with me. I like to move things around. So, yes, I've just... That's what mine is.
Oh, yes, you were telling me that you put stuff on your stairs.
Yes.
Doesn't actually get up the stairs,
no,
but then it goes
around.
Back. Yeah. So that's so interesting, isn't it? A different schema. So have a think about that if you're listening in. And please, as I say, feel free to email in or you know, give us a call, whatever, because we'd love to hear what other adult schemas there are around in West Harts. Right, I think we're going to take a little bit of a break in a minute now and give Mary a chance to sip some water. She's been doing a lot of talking. Thank you, Mary. And then we'll come back in a bit and I've got some more questions. So don't forget, you're listening to The Parents Show at 92.6 FM Radio Verulam.
92.6 FM.
You're listening to The Parents Show on Radio Verulam, 92.6 FM. Thanks for tuning in tonight, especially if you're a new listener. And we'd like to thank Vanessa Fielding, one of Mary's associates, who's just Facebooked us. So thanks, Vanessa, for listening all the way from up north somewhere, wherever you live.
Sandy.
So anyway, tonight on The Parents Show, we are considering schematic play or schemas. And these are repeated actions driven by the brain. They're completely biological. We're born with them. They come in all cultures, not just in West Harts. And it's how kind of babies, children, and in fact, even us adults, it's a way that we think that suits our own individual brain's wiring. So we also are talking about how we get older. The schemas don't disappear. It's just that they get more and more sophisticated. And actually, I was just looking into this. And an example of a sophisticated adult schema is when you're little, you might position stuff. So, you know, you'll put your toys in a line or, you know, you have them a certain way on the shelf or whatever. And apparently this develops so that becoming an adult with a positioning schema, it could be that you don't like your food touching on the plate, or I don't know, you have to have your pasta sauce in a different bowl to the rest of your food. So, you know, as I said, have a look, watch your husband, watch your wife, and particularly observe your children, because once you identify a schema, not only is it interesting and sometimes it's quite funny, for the children it helps you to think, you know, maybe my son or daughter isn't so strange. Actually, that is their brain working out what's going on, and they're not flitting from one thing to another. They're actually like a little buzzy bee who's going round looking to repeat the same kind of action, whether they're in the bathroom, the garden, at nanny's house, at school, kitchen. Yeah, Mary, would you
yes.
agree with that?
Yeah, it helps you to accept that behaviour, whatever yes. it may be. As I can say with my husband, whose socks I always find rolled up into a ball and thrown somewhere in the bedroom, that I'm going to say that he's got a trajectory schema.
Right.
That helps me not to get so upset about that.
So that's definitely not his excuse for not putting his washing in the laundry bin.
No, it's a schema.
Right, okay.
I'm sure.
Okay.
Who also plays golf.
Yeah,
so
he loves football.
Same thing, football, trajectory. Yes, yeah. that's his schema.
Okay, thanks for that. Right, Mary, let's another question for you, please.
Of course.
What's the strangest way you ever saw children's schemas being catered for by adults?
Well, yes. I once was on a course and the lady who was leading the course showed us a video that she had taken. It was of some boys, three boys. They were about 4 years old and they were in their nursery's toilet.
Yeah.
They'd got shaving foam and soap, and it was soap, and they were smearing it all over the mirror.
Right.
Round and round with their hands, just covering the mirror up. She'd walked in, seen them, and they saw her, and they expected her to tell them, no, stop that. But she didn't. She carried on filming and sort of gestured to them to carry on.
Yeah.
And, you know, she told us that one of them had a rotational schema and actually was helping him to go around and around with his hands, filling in this mirror. I think a lot of the people on that course, you know, myself included, thought that was a bit strange, that... How, you know, even though that teacher in that environment thought that was fine, well, you know, what if they go somewhere else and that's not
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
You know, that was our question at the time. what will happen. She reassured us that those boys are actually now 21 years old and at university, and they're fine. Yeah. Nothing bad's happened to them.
Yeah.
That children, they're not stupid. Yeah. They can understand that different adults have different beliefs and different levels of what they think's acceptable. So it was fine to do that, but hard sometimes to explain to parents.
Yes.
Why that's okay.
So, you know, staying on that topic then, say we've got listeners tonight, parents, because we're a parent show, and they're thinking, you know, this woman's talking a load of old codswallop. You know, what,
of course.
Do you have any kind of response to that? Any way to help a parent sort of take this as seriously as, you know, you do and I feel quite strongly about it?
Well, I think just try and understand that the schema helps that child. It really makes them feel at ease and really will help your child to learn more. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Not a bad thing to have a schema. It can be really helpful to the child. I've seen that firsthand. It's it's beneficial.
Yeah. I mean, I've been looking at some material today online, and a lot of nurseries and schools now all over the UK will provide information for parents and saying, you know, we'd welcome hearing you share how you've supported your child at home to follow their current schema or schemas, cluster of schemas. You know, so I think it's becoming much better known, isn't it, in the early years world. So it's now, as you say, getting parents to understand it. And I don't know about you, but I've always found parents were really excited when, you know, you'd explain it to them and they'd come back and say, oh, I've seen my child's got a whatever schema.
Yes.
So, yeah. Do you think that your daughter's play is developing in, you know, an accelerated way or a particular way because you've got the openness to schemas?
Well, I think because I can recognise the schema and go with it and provide more opportunities for her with that schema. Yeah, it's helped her. She seems happy in her play.
Yeah.
She's really, really good at playing. She can play for extended periods of time.
Yeah.
She's quite surprising to me because she's still quite young.
Yes.
I mean, I saw her first schema appear, I think, when she just started to move.
Right.
Probably when she's about 6 months old.
Yeah.
She would start to move and she shuffled along on her back. That's how she moved. And she would move underneath things.
Yeah.
Underneath the coffee table. When we started to go to groups, she would always move under the tables, wherever it may be, wherever we go. And I think that she was enveloping herself then.
Yeah.
She wanted to be underneath. Also, she liked her Moses basket. She liked being in that small space.
Mm.
We had a small cot. She liked that. And I hear that some people say their babies don't like Moses baskets.
Right.
They won't sleep in a Moses basket. Oh, he'd never sleep in a Moses basket. Perhaps that child doesn't have that enveloping schema, so they wouldn't like that. Some adults don't like that. Mm. I don't like being inside a sleeping bag.
No.
Where some people love that feeling. So I think it's quite important to know your child, to find out what they like, and it explains them.
Yeah.
It helps you to understand who they are.
Yeah.
Even when they're tiny and they can't speak to you, you can get to know them.
Yeah, that's such a good point, Mary, isn't it? Because if, you know, your child isn't settling in a Moses basket, then maybe you need to put them into a much bigger, I don't know, you know, into a cot at 6 months, whereas some people wouldn't do that till they were 2 years. I don't know.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
So that's what we would say to parents, I guess, that are listening. Oh, they're saying it's a load of old rubbish. No, actually.
It's really beneficial.
It can really help the child.
Yeah.
And therefore, if it's helping the child's sleeping better, the parent's happier, aren't they?
Yes.
I just thought it was worth going over these schemas again because we've, you know, talked about a couple. So we've got trajectory where, what, Mary? The children are generally throwing stuff.
Yeah, which is sometimes a challenging one, you know. Challenging if children are throwing things. You've got to, you know, you don't want them to be throwing things at people. But yeah, trajectory is one that we do see.
Rotation we've talked about. So like the boy in the kitchen or looking at the washing
machine. Balls.
Or, yeah.
Hoops, that kind of thing.
Enveloping, I've spoken about a bit. Transporting is yours.
Mm-hmm.
What about enclosing? Tell us about enclosing. What's that?
So it's where they might be building a little brick wall around when they're drawing shapes around things. Enclosing a space, really.
Yeah. So children that
making
maybe
an enclosure.
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember seeing some boys drag big decking planks.
Yes.
And they made themselves an area. And they, well, there's three or four of them were leading the play and they wouldn't let other children in, which initially as a teacher, you think that's really mean.
Yeah.
But actually standing back and observing them, it was very purposeful, their play. Okay, positioning. What do you say about that? Is that like lining up?
Well, yes. Yeah, see that a lot. Lining up and connecting is one that I've seen a lot. And you often see boys around the train table, you know, playing with trains. And you can look at them and think, oh, they like trains. But look again, and all those different children, not just boys, I shouldn't say boys around the train table, those children around the train table, all actually playing in different ways. Some of them may be lining up the track. Some of them might be carrying loads of trains. Some are connecting.
Yeah.
That's their schema. Some are transporting the trains all around the room.
Yeah.
They're all playing in their own way. So that's quite interesting to see.
We've had a message in from Kathy from, where is it, from Fleetville. She's asking, is there any link between intelligence and schema? Not that I've ever heard of particularly.
Not heard that, and I wouldn't say it was at all.
No.
Not that if you've got a schema you're more intelligent, or any particular schema is, but I do think you can aid children's learning by using their schema to develop them and to help them.
Well, that's Kathy's other part of her question, actually. Do you think we should feed into their schema?
Yes, but don't tell the child that they've got a schema. No. We're doing this today because you like connecting, don't you? So we're doing your schema play today. Don't make them become obsessed with it. But, yes, you can definitely help them. You can set things up for them to do. Yeah. And there were children before who I knew liked enveloping themselves. So what we did with those children, I can remember, is we got different pieces of fabric that were different shapes, and we got different items, like the objects that were different shapes, and it was a maths activity. Could they choose the correct shape and size fabric to cover and envelop the objects? So they had to try and work out which piece of fabric would work. It taught them about area.
Mm. I think you raised a good point there, that actually, Kathy's question is that, should we feed into it? Yes, we should, because we can teach all kinds of things through schemas. So, you can teach numbers. We all know that, teaching numbers to children through using Thomas the Tank Engine trains. But what else, can we be teaching them through? So you're saying area, volume. I know that I once had a little boy who was really, really into connecting. Mm-hmm. So I made him a fan. So lots of little pieces of paper joined together with a paperclip thing.
Yes.
And put his letters on it for him to learn. And he much preferred that, fanning through the letters, because they were connected together at the bottom, than having a book that he would turn the pages
in. That's his schema, so he's going to enjoy that more, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like a child who likes connecting will like that more. The children that I did the activity with the fabric, they did enjoy that. It was the way they liked to learn.
Yeah.
I know a child at the moment who likes his schema, I think, is completion. He likes to finish things. It's not a schema that I've met very many times, completion.
Yeah.
But he would do activities for a long time until it's completely finished.
And if he can't complete it?
Well, it was make him feel unsettled.
Right.
I have that a little bit as well, I would say. I like to have a list of things to do, and I love it if I've crossed all the things on that list off. It makes me feel better, and I think that's, that's fine, because you can think, why do I have to have a list?
Mm.
It's not all right. Some people don't need a list. Why have I got a list? It's okay. Mm. It helps me, so that's okay.
You see, whereas I would never finish anything on my list, and I'd make a new list and lose the old list.
Yeah. And cover it up with a blanket.
Yeah. So, there's one that I mentioned, which is I haven't seen so much, but I don't know if you, core and radial, which is when children draw circles and like sun shapes a lot.
Mm.
And apparently they draw themselves. We know that when children's drawings develop, they will often, they won't do a neck and a body. They'll draw the head, and then they'll have the arms and the legs all coming out like a sun all round it. But apparently that could be a schema as well.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen that one before. And we wanted to see that one. The one that I saw the most is connecting.
Yes.
Even the little boy that I can think of connected the train track all the time. He connected planks all the time. He connected his words all the time.
Right.
So
Super
duper seesaw, he would say.
Yeah.
All kind of connecting words. He was, quite an interesting boy to observe.
So there's another example, Mary, of you saying, look for it everywhere. So it's in their speech, in their actions.
It can be, yeah.
Yeah. We had another message come in. thank you, from Rebecca. Rebecca says, my child will repeatedly pick up shakers at his music class. He ignores the bells and the drums. Could this possibly be some kind of... could he be a collector of certain things, Rebecca's saying. What do you think about that? So he'll pick up shakers, but he's not interested in bells or drums.
Well, I think if you saw him doing that in other areas of his life, not just in the music, you might say that. But maybe he just likes the sound that they make. Maybe he's comfortable with that.
Or he likes the vibration.
It might be the shape of the shaker that he likes the feel of that particular shape.
Yeah, so she needs to look to see if anything similar to the shape of the shaker is happening at other times.
Yeah, it might not be about the maraca or shaker. Yeah. It might be about the shape of it.
I just came to me when you were talking about connecting that I can think, if you're listening in again and you're thinking, what on earth are they talking about? Here's a benefit of being a connector. I had a little boy that I worked with who loved connecting. He particularly loved joining a table to a table with sellotape. Now, it costs quite a lot in sellotape. However, that child now, as an older child, is just amazing and so good at using sellotape, way, way ahead of his peers.
Yeah, it's a jolly hard thing to do with sellotape.
You know, so now, when he's 8, his sellotape skills are just like an adult's because he spent a lot of time using sellotape when he was 2 and 3 and 4. So, you know, there's a benefit. Your child can help you wrap up Christmas presents if you let them use sellotape.
Well, and I think I've learned with working with children with schemers is allowing them to do things like use sellotape and join the tables together, but within reason.
Right.
I can remember sometimes at first when I learned about schematic play that I allowed children to perhaps go too far, and times when I let them use whole rolls of paper to wrap up furniture, and it probably was a little bit over the top.
Right.
And I do think that as parents, it's okay to say, you know,
that's enough.
Yes, and they can do it within reason. Yes, I allow my daughter to scatter the Tupperware in my house. I'm not going to allow her to get all the stuff off the shelves in Waitrose, am I?
No.
But you've got to, you know, do it within reason.
Yeah. Yeah, be sensible about it.
Yes.
But also observe it, look for it, because it's actually very exciting when you do recognise it.
Of course.
Yeah. Mary, thank you. You have been so helpful sharing with us your observations and things. Do you have any final things you want to say? Or, you know, what would your message be to parents that have got children then have never heard of this schematic playing before? What would you be saying to them?
I'd say let them play and have a watch of them and see what their interests are. What have they got a schema? The only way you're going to find out is by being with them and observing them.
Yeah. So thank you, and best of luck now being on your maternity leave, and enjoy your daughter.
Thank you.
And thank you for sharing all your experience with us. It's been lovely having you in the studio.
Oh, it's been great to be here.
Yeah,
had a great time.
You've enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Okay. And you're listening to The Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. Thanks for tuning in tonight. I know we've had some new listeners. Thanks to Becky and to Vanessa, to Sarah Woods, who emailed in, and anybody else that's been listening. Don't forget, you can find more information on our Facebook page. And if you didn't know, we've got a great team here at The Parents Show, and we have the lovely Neil, who turns everything into a podcast which you can download free from iTunes. So whether you're a parent, you want to listen again, or maybe you're in education, you know, why not use it with your students or your in-house training or whatever? Because I think, you know, Mary gave us some really good information, first-hand observations there tonight.
Neve Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parents Show. The friendly team at Neves includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neves Solicitors, your complete legal solution.